This is Vatican Radio, and I am Lydia O'Kane. This summer, the issue of disability will be firmly under the spotlight, with major events taking place celebrating the value of disabled people. The eyes of the world will be on Paralympic athletes when they take part in the Paralympic Games in Brazil in August, and the Vatican's Pontifical Council for Culture, along with the Kairos Forum, will be sponsoring an academic symposium and a conference regarding disability, theology and culture entitled Living Fully 2016. So, with attention focusing on this important issue, how far have we come and what strides still need to be made regarding acceptance and accessibility for people with disabilities? I put that question to Christina Gangemi, Disability Advisor to the Bishop's Conference of England and Wales and Director of the Kairos Forum, which seeks to highlight and respond to the spiritual and religious needs of people with disabilities.
There is definitely much more being done within the realm of disability and faith. And in the church, you will, depending on where you are in the world, you will encounter pockets of good practice. So in any one given diocese, you may find people that are doing fantastic work in their parishes regarding inclusion. And then you may find parishes who, when you go in and you ask about disability, their response is, we don't have anybody with disability. The paradox is that within, because of our Catholic teaching and its stance on the gift of life and the dignity of life and the fact that we don't accept abortion or we don't accept the denial of life to people with disabilities, actually, within the Catholic community, we probably have a higher percentage of people with disabilities than in most other faiths, because we believe that life is completely and totally God-given and graced. And so, therefore, that's where we are. So I would say we would have a high percentage of people with disabilities in need, but we only have pockets of good practice. And my experience as a disability advisor is that I have seen an incredible growth in knowledge. In my own diocese, I worked with the adult formation team. And so in the Archdiocese of Southwark in the UK, we wouldn't ever do any training that didn't have a disability lens in it. So in Southwark, we've probably got about 2,000 catechists trained as catechists. And within that, if they needed to work with a child with a disability, they've done that work. I think that it all comes down to this concept of inclusion, and that if we choose to include and think about it, it will happen. If we don't, it won't. So where we stand is, we stand at a very profound moment in Christian history when legislation and disability rights have really reminded us who we are and has begun to ask us the question, actually, do you really want disabled people? And then the question has gone even further. How welcoming are you as a parish community? But then within that, it's, do you recognise Christ at the heart of every single person? And as such, will you do anything and everything you can to ensure that their experience is part of your journey? And build community together. So we call ourselves Kairos because we believe that this generation of the church has been given a particular mandate, that we've been given a special job to do. We have legislation in place. We have incredible progress in special education and technology. We've got lots of people with the heart to share good practice and teach, you know, new and creative ways of catechizing and being church together. And I think that where we are is that we're on that journey. But certainly it's a more exciting time now than ever before. And we either take up the mandate and the call we've been given or leave it to another generation. But I hope that this conference, and I hope that the work that we're all doing all over the world will show the Lord that that it is us, and we're happy to take up that challenge. Or that gift. It's not a challenge, it's a joy. Yeah, it's great.
We've seen successive popes talk about disability. You've seen them engage with people with disability. This Pope, Pope Francis, you've only to look at the audience on a Wednesday. You've only to see him. He talks about the homeless. He talks about the poor. He's very much involved with, you know, in that field. He's a pastor. What kind of a message do you think that sends out to people when they see that, when they see those images?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that, of course, for people with intellectual disabilities, the visual and learning through the visual is so much more important than words and language and whether we get, you know, our language correct or not. I think that there's something that I've noticed about Pope Francis when he encounters people with disabilities that's always struck me as being very profound, and that he has an incredible ability to reach out to disabled people. So no longer leaving them as sort of objects of charity or somebody putting the person up for the Pope to gather. He reaches out to them in the same way that he reaches out to everybody else, so very much like Christ. But what's really struck me, and I've been watching this, and very much struck me when there was a child with autism who got up onto the sanctuary with him, and he interacted with them, with the child. What struck me more about the ministry of Pope Francis is not so much his reaching out, but the way in which people on the more profound spectrum of disability have instinctively reached out to him. Because from where they are within their body and how they interact with people, especially people on the spectrum of autism, it's not common for them to reach out. You know, it's actually quite uncommon. But I've always noticed that, and for him, you know, for them, he would be a man in white. He doesn't know that, you know, that that's Pope and that's... But there's something about his willingness to love, I think, that seems to give them a need to reach out. And for me, the most profound image was a young man with Down syndrome who Pope Francis was near. He reached out. The young man with Down syndrome reached out to Pope Francis, took his cross, kissed it. So he kissed Jesus before anybody else. And then he patted Pope Francis on the head, you know, as if to say... And for me, that was, there you look at the servant of God who served by a servant of God. And it was just... I think that that's... These are beautiful images. They're not charitable images. They're images of love. And that's, I think, where we are, where we've got to be always.
Just one final question, again, talking about disability, but looking at it, we're coming into the summer and we'll be coming into the Olympic Games and we'll be coming into the Paralympic Games. Is it the case sometimes that, you know, during an Olympic season that it all comes to the fore and you have it all in the news and everyone wants to talk about the Paralympics and these great people, and then afterwards it falls away,
yeah,
and then you don't hear about it, and you wonder where all these people have gone, and you wonder what work is being done. Do you find that, is that frustrating for you, or what do you feel about that?
It is very frustrating. I think one of the things that I always find very frustrating is that there's an awful lot of focus given to Olympics and Paralympics, but the Special Olympics and everything that they, and the incredible witness they give about what it means to be community and the love of sport and also the profound way in which people with autism are able to just run for kilometres and kilometres and kilometres, experiencing the atmosphere on their face, is often left out of the story. In fact, we've got the Special Olympics coming to the conference, which we're excited about as volunteers and as speakers. But actually, there was an incredible legacy in the UK from the Paralympic Games, and the issue of disability was highlighted. And we noticed during the Games and since that there's been much more evidence of disabled people being proud of their body, no matter what it looks like, and being on the streets and being present and visual. So I would say that since the Paralympic Games, there has been a shift in the UK, and that's been a great legacy. Now, as the Kairos Forum ran a conference called Everybody Has a Place during the Paralympic Games, which brought together, much like here we have in Rome, theologians and sports people, Stephanie Reed and various other, Jason Gardner, various other sports Olympians who sort of like dedicate their life to sport. And we discussed the whole language of sport as a language of the body, which actually speaks of the profound ability of a person. Now, the Paralympic movement sometimes tends to use this concept of superhuman, but that, in a way, seeks to justify why a disabled person is doing sport, because they're just people living their lives, and some do sport and some do other things. And I think that it's very frustrating when the concept of being a person who loves sport and enjoys sport is put into the realm of being superhuman, because a superhuman can't last, because we're just all humans, and so therefore after the games it all goes back to normal and then everything goes back to normal. But I think that there's a massive opportunity for Brazil now, as a Catholic country, to put the Paralympics as an example of everything that the Catholic Church teaches about the dignity of the human person, especially with the virus, the Zika virus, because as a result of the Zika virus, Brazil now has 2,500 guaranteed people with intellectual disabilities, all to be catechised, all to be received and welcomed. So I think that the Paralympic Games gives Brazil a real opportunity to celebrate everything that can be done in the lives of disabled people.